from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and
started the show.
Yeah.
It was oh no. But now we have a community of folks that really help.
I love it.
And engage with the conversation. Yeah. So therefore, sometimes we go in different paths,
yeah.
right? And so it's not a show that just talks down to the people. We actually, like, we're the show that communicates with the people.
The people are, like, sitting in the third host
chair.
Yes! I love
it's
it. Yeah.
Isn't that how conversations work?
It should be.
It should be, right? Yeah. All right. Coming up at 11:30, we're going to get to that one topic where we talked about how the young folks are at their jobs telling people their business. They're telling folks their salary.
Those
it used to be.
Folks.
You didn't used to do that. Now folks are telling their salary. Let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
In case you had not heard, the Space Needle turns 60 this year, and in celebration, our city's prime architectural icon got a fresh new coat of paint, turning the top of the needle galaxy gold in honor of the original color. G. Scott, your opinion on the fresh coat of paint there, getting lined up there on the Space Needle.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I care about a 0.
I'm glad we started with this then.
Thank you for the honesty.
Thank you for sharing that now. Yeah.
Right? Like, I care about a 0. And the only way that I would have noticed it is because I am seeing people talk about it looking like a needle, like to put something into your arm needle. So I saw that, and I'm like, well, and then I saw also, this is what Seattle's best known for. And I said, really? Because I thought that Seattle was most known for rain. Because when you tell people you're from Seattle, they don't say, oh, man, that's the place with a whole lot of drug needles on the ground. They don't say that.
Never.
They say, oh, man, I heard it rains there a lot. And then they go into, oh, it's really expensive to live there.
Yeah.
And then it goes into, oh, you guys have Microsoft and you have Amazon? Then it goes into, do I really need to sell Seattle on what it is, considering I'm looking right here out the window and there's cranes everywhere? But yeah, let some people tell you that this is only known for needles. But it's back to the Space Needle. I don't know. I don't care. You?
Okay. By the way, you're not supposed to have a non-opinion on radio.
On the G and Ursa
show. Thank you.
on the G and Ursa show, you can.
So, you have a 0, I have a 10.
Oh!
I care about this so much, it's all I care about.
Really? Okay, let's go.
So, here's my answer to the hypodermic needle. I don't think it looks like a hypodermic needle. I think it looks like one of those at-home COVID tests. You know, the little orange top that you like dip. And that just means that we're prepared. We're ready. We're on it. We're testing, ladies and gentlemen. But no, really, why I love it is because I love nostalgia. I love nostalgia so much. And the Space Needle is like, meet George Jetson. And that his house is orange. I went back and checked this morning. So it makes me feel like, yeah, like I'm back in the day. I don't know. I'm into it. I like it. And what Seattleite doesn't want to look up in the sky and see a round orange circle beaming back at us?
Travis?
We all want
Travis. Travis?
Yeah. I tried. Did I sell it?
How many times do you go and visit the Space Needle?
Actually, we love to take our kids there. It's a lot of fun. Have you been to the new like glass floor? It's cool.
No.
It's very cool. So actually, we're weird.
I've been in 23 years, I've been to the top twice.
Go and see the new glass floor. It's really cool. You can lay on it and stare straight down. Like, it's trippy.
Really?
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
That sounds so much terrifying.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it.
By the way, so first of all, if you're a fan of the view at the Needle, you should check out the view at the observation deck of the Columbia
also
Tower.
Also true.
Far superior.
Yes.
Also the top of the Smith Tower. That is a fantastic view
Wait,
as well.
Have you been into that apartment?
I have not been to the apartment. Apparently, you can ride up and there's a deck you can go look off of now.
Yeah.
But I've been up there when Uber had their offices for a job interview. My thought on the Space Needle, it's fine. I like a change. However, having accomplished this new paint job just a couple weeks ago, I can't recall for the life of me what it was painted before. I have no idea what the color was. And I also had no idea that this was the original color because according to all the photos that I've seen of the World's Fair, it was black and white back then.
It's sure a lot of people complaining about Seattle and they make a whole lot of money. Those are the loudest ones. The ones that complain, that make really, really good money. And for some reason, don't move. Like, you actually stay here. Oh my goodness, this Seattle is so bad. When you moving? Well, I want to be right here. You're making good money, ain't you? That's what I thought. It's interesting. We actually like pull back the covers and get rid of the front and really talk about these topics really how they are. It's like the new stat that came out talking about people being afraid of Seattle and how the majority of people, they really aren't afraid of Seattle.
No.
And when they're talking about how bad Seattle is, they are literally talking about either a block here. I don't even have to sell it to you. When they're talking about how bad Seattle is, what block are they talking about? Now, you won't answer, but you already know the answer then.
I'm picturing it in my mind.
You're picturing it.
Yeah.
You're already saying Pike and Pine.
Yeah.
So somebody living in Laurelhurst is talking about how bad it is where? Not in Laurelhurst.
No.
All right. No. Sorry, I had to get off. I'm off my soapbox, Chef.
Oh, no, that was wonderful. Good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's move on to some national news. So thanks to a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion that would overturn Roe versus Wade, tensions around the country are rising. Also going up, an unscalable fence surrounding the nation's highest court.
Okay.
And over the weekend, protesters gathered outside the homes of both Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Chief Justice John Roberts. Those protests were peaceful, if noisy, and at both locations, protesters were asked to leave by police, which they eventually did. G. Scott, we've talked about this in regards to people gathering outside Jenny Durkin's house. Your thoughts on people protesting outside the Supreme Court justices. Is that a line too far?
Too far. I don't like it. I am very consistent when it comes to that. I do believe in protesting. I do believe in that. I just don't believe in going to people's house. I don't care who it is. And if you've been listening to the show long enough, I have been talking about it. I talked about it when they went up to Chief Best house. I don't care who it is. I don't care what their politics are. I don't care what decision that Brett Kavanaugh has made. I don't believe that you should go to his house. However, I was thinking about something, though, because I'm seeing the news, and it's interesting because there are some that believe that the Americans protesting outside of the homes, they're out of line. I can't believe they're doing that. But you're the same folks that when the folks attacked the Capitol building on January 6th, attacked police officers, tried to overthrow democracy, you said that they were engaging in legitimate political discourse. So I need you to keep that same energy when you're talking about protesting, but I'll go back after it. I still don't believe that they should be going to the homes.
Can I sum that up for you? You don't believe people should protest outside political officials' houses, and you don't believe that people should storm the people's house. Is that simple?
Simple.
All right. Travis?
All right. At a personal level, the Schadenfreude here, I like. I mean, I can't help it. Like, you want to go up in ladies' business and regulate. So guess what? We're going to get up in your business, on your lawn. You want to go in her lawn? We're going to go in your lawn. So at a personal level, I like it. But at a like political, like actual democracy level, I don't like it because it basically gives folks an opportunity to do this. Have a conversation about protesting versus not, when we should really be talking about the fact that over the weekend, the governor of Mississippi wouldn't deny that next they'd like to outlaw contraceptives. Or that a senator from Tennessee said that she'd like to have contraceptives be available only for married couples. Or that Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate Republicans, has basically said that if they get the majority, they would be willing to talk about a national ban on abortions. I would much rather be talking about those things because this basically allows the derailing of those conversations.
Oh, okay. So let's go ahead and continue with the derailing since you're so uncomfortable with that aspect of it, Travis.
Yes.
I got to disagree with you. And here's why. The point of protesting is to be visible, is to make a difference. And when it comes to direct action, here's the issue with folks that don't like this. When it comes to direct action, every single day in America outside numerous abortion clinics, almost all of them, there is someone standing outside with a sign who, at the very least, makes either abortion providers or women who are going in for perhaps birth control extremely uncomfortable. On the farther end of that scale, I have experienced this with my wife going in to get contraception from Planned Parenthood when we did not have the money to purchase it nor health insurance ourselves, of having people shout at us, calling us murderers. Now, why is it okay for people to take direct action to the folks whose private medical decisions at some of the most vulnerable points in their life, you can take that directly to them in their place of medical care, but going to the home of a Supreme Court justice who is ensconced and completely protected from this, that is a bridge too far. I find it highly rich that people would take any issue with this when what has happened in this nation since 1977, there have been 8 murders, 17 attempted murders, 42 bombings, and 186 arsons targeting abortion clinics and providers. Now, we've had opportunities in this country, like others have done, to ban protests outside of abortion clinics. We have not done that in the United States. I think that would be a healthy step. If we really don't want people protesting outside the homes of politicians when it is they or judges, who are making the decisions that impact people's lives, make that a law. But if it's not against the law and it's just noisy on your street, well, I'm sorry that your choice has consequences and that makes it uncomfortable for you. If it bridges into violence, absolutely shut it down. And that is a bridge too far in every single protest, regardless of context or issue.
I should have known. I could see the way you were sitting in your chair that you're going to have a lot of heat for this topic. I should have been ready. I am ready, as a matter of fact. And my first answer to you or question is, first of all, it's good stuff in what you said. But two wrongs don't make a right. Now, against as far as what should be law, it's not against the law for people to be vaccinated and discourage those to get the vaccine. Should be, but it's not. It happens. You'd think that people wouldn't do that because it's an immoral thing to do. Even though you make a great point, you're right, Chef. There are people outside of Planned Parenthood, people going there to maybe get birth control and maybe get, you know, condoms and those things. And yet they're being harassed by those that are anti-abortion. In that case, I think that's wrong. But I still, like Travis, I'm never going to be on the side of going to someone's house, even though it's not illegal. I'm sorry. I cannot condone that part of it. And is that a problem? I don't know. But I truly do believe deep down that it's a problem to go to someone's house. And the last thing I'll say is this. This ain't about babies. This is not about babies. This is about control of a woman's body by the majority of men. Because if it was really about babies, then there would be free education. There would be constant free health care and all of the other resources of when these children do get here to this world. But it's interesting, the governor of Mississippi talking the way that he does, actually being okay with those with rape of incest, these women having to carry it to full term because of the trigger that it would coming back from 2007. And the state of Mississippi still ranks dead last in every single category that we're talking about when it comes to health care, when it comes to education, when it comes to child care for these children. Dead last in the United States of America when these kids do show up to this world. So that's probably my biggest frustration, that it's not about the babies, it's about control of a woman's body.
All right, can I take it down? I'm sorry, can you hear me? There's an extremely loud vehicle. Gee, does that belong to you? There's legislation in California that could affect you should it come to Washington State. California is proposing automatic enforcement of loud exhaust systems. So what they will do is they will put microphones at intersections that can actually target certain vehicles whose cars are too loud, and they will mail you a ticket automatically. Travis Mayfield, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
G has what they call loud pipes. Would you support similar automatic enforcement here?
Do you mean his voice on the radio?
No, his truck.
Okay, so here's my actual serious answer. Yes, I think I could be open to what this could look like. And here's why. Because, like, I have little kids, and they both, I have a almost 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, they're sensitive to loud noises. And my 4-year-old has nearly jumped into traffic when some car has backfired near us. And I think it's dangerous. I think it's a distraction, and I think it really is a safety issue when it comes to loudness.
Are you kidding me, man?
I knew you were Travis, are you
kidding me? Out of all the things going on, out of where it ranks, your view of the Space Needle, all of the serious topics that we're talking about, where does a loud exhaust rank at? And we talked about school times changing.
Yeah.
We talked about all these things. Where does a loud exhaust on someone's vehicle rank at for you?
Yeah, I'm going to put it underneath the bell time, but maybe a touch above the Space Needle.
Okay, all right, all right. Mama told me to never talk about politics and or religion at the kitchen table. Well, what about your salary at work? Find out what is happening. The youngsters are talking about their salaries at work. We'll go dig into that next. Gene Ursula with Travis. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Travis Mayfield has been hanging out with us. And Travis, man, it's always good to have you on the show, man.
It is great to be here. So many great topics this morning.
Now, Travis, before we get into this next topic, real quick, like, you know, right now you're a stay-at-home dad and everything. What's that like getting the kids to school every morning?
I love it, honestly. Like, they're still at the age where they both want to hold my hand and they'll fight over it.
Really?
I love that because I keep telling our almost 9-year-old daughter, like, you're going to hate me pretty soon. So I'm going to love this while I can get it. She's going to want nothing to do with me.
Well, this topic right here, and this is one that for some reason, I know Chef's got some fire when it comes to this, but younger workers, you know what? They aren't keeping their salaries a secret anymore. And here's why it could be a good idea. Sarah Foster writes this with the Seattle Times. And basically what they're talking about is this. In this topic, as much as people's parents did not disclose salary, a lot of folks are right now. It's one particular topic. Kirsten Post, they had talked to her. She's 29 years old, not afraid to talk about money. And they estimate that she's told more than 30 people how much money that she's made since her career started in 2014, most recently as a recruiter for a tech company. Many of the people she tells are her coworkers. More often than not, they share with her, too. So the point is right now, minds are changing. Let me give you guys some numbers, and then we can talk about this topic. According to this, they're saying that attitudes are changing because workers in the workplace is no longer considered taboo to talk about how much they're earning. Nearly 42% of Gen Z workers, 18 to 25, and 40% of millennials, ages 26 to 41, have shared their salary information with a coworker or other professional contact, compared with 31% of Gen Xers, 42 to 57, and wait for it, only 19% of the baby boomers between the ages of 58 and 76 have shared their salary. Now, text in 888-973-CHIRO, the State Roofing text line, your thoughts on sharing your salary with your coworker. When you hear about this, are things changing, and where do you stand on sharing your salary?
So I think this is great. I think we should be talking more openly because salary secrecy protects the status quo. And we know the status quo right now is that we pay women and people of color and LGBTQ folks less than straight, white, cisgendered men. That the statistics bear that out. So if that's what we're trying to protect, and that's what salary secrecy does, then I guess just continue not talking about it. But instead, millennials and Gen Zers are kind of taking things into their own hands and saying, no, I'm going to talk about this. And maybe you want to protect this, but we don't. We want fairer salaries so that when we go to negotiate, we know what other people are making.
I wish salaries. So for an example, I like to bring up sports. In sports, we look at this quarterback. I'm going to ask you which quarterback is better. Quarterback A makes $35 million a season. Quarterback B makes $5 million a season. Which quarterback is better?
I mean, $35 million quarterback has to be better, right?
Right. We think that, and we have those opinions because the athlete's salary are there for us to be able to judge these workers. I wish that same thing would happen here at Cairo or in every other private company where your salaries are posted. There's no secret. So if you're sitting there and you have to teach Billy how to send an email with an attachment like Chef said this morning, you know that that person is making $100,000 more than you, and you have to help them send an email. And you, after you help them send that email, you go over to the list and you say, wait a minute, Billy. Fam, you make $100,000 a year more than me, and you didn't know how to send that email? Okay. So then when you go into your boss to renegotiate your salary and try to get a raise, oh, by the way, inflation, we've been talking about that. So let me get this straight. The raise is only going to be 2-3%, but the inflation is 7.7%. I had to teach Billy how to send an email. Billy makes $100,000 more than me, and you telling me that there's no room for me to make more money?
Here's the problem. Young people are fine doing this. Old people are not. Here's the issue with that. Is if you only have the people at the bottom rung of your company that are willing to share their salaries, all you get is a bunch of young, underpaid people who are disgruntled with their salaries. Until they can actually start comparing what they make with people who have been there for 20 years and the people who are making the most at the company, you won't ever see those people get the kind of traction that they want. And I don't think we're ever going to see that kind of transparency in this country because it's just cultural. It is cultural in the United States to be ashamed to talk about money, to be told that it is taboo. In many other countries, it's absolutely normal within 2 minutes of meeting someone to say, oh, Travis, so you work in television. Tell me, how much do you get paid to work on TV? And that's just an absolutely normal question to ask people. That's still not culturally normal here. I think it's getting more so amongst younger people, but that's just a sign of dissatisfaction with the world as is. People are happy to tell you when they are dead poor and broke, I got no assets, I got $10,000 in debt, and I'm making $22.50 an hour. You're never going to get someone in the company that's making $150,000 and is sitting on $3 million in assets to be like, yeah, I'm winning the game.
Well, here's where I kind of disagree with you. Years ago, I used to lie about how much I make. And today, I lie about how much I make. Because years ago, I wasn't making nothing. But I had to pretend. Because I'm telling you right now, I used to, you know, you talk a big game. But then you look at your account and you're like, does that have $43 in it? Oh, that means I'm good for the weekend.
Where are the zeros? Not even one.
Not even one zero. I do think it needs to be talked about more. And I also believe that this whole, like, when you go to interview for this job, not that I know what an interview is like, but anyway, when you go to interview for a job, you go into, oh, our company is... What does it say? Competitive?
Oh, that makes me crazy. Tell me the salary range.
What's the salary, fam?
Exactly.
So I don't waste your time.
Yes.
You don't waste our time. Oh, the salary is $43,000 to $52,000. Thank you.
Yes.
Just say it.
Yes.
And matter of fact, I know a lot of time there was this idea that people are lazy and nobody wants to work. And I'd always say, post your job and say how much you're paying. I promise you, if you are paying a living wage, you think you're going to have a hard time finding people to work? Seriously? That's not a work problem. It's a pay problem.
Yeah.
I don't know if we accomplished anything with that topic. So you guys do like it? You do like posting the salaries?
I do. Okay. I actually, when I was starting out in this career, I did this. I asked another reporter who got a job at a station before I did how much she made and what she negotiated. She told me, and I was able to negotiate more than what she got because I knew what she'd already, and we were going to do the same job.
Yeah.
Like, I went and I was like, and it was more than what they were offering me. So, like, because I knew what her starting salary was, I was able to go in and negotiate a better offer for myself.
She hooked you up.
She did. I still owe her.
I always say this. I don't need to be the highest paid. I just want to keep getting paid.
Yeah.
Coming up next, your text message, your feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. It's Gene Ursula. What a show it has been today. Travis Mayfield filled in for Ursula. And Travis, again, can't say enough. Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Let's get to our text messages. By the way, are you going to have a words to live by?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Young people sharing their salaries. 206 said, I shared my salary when I found out a new hire was paid more than me and I was there longer doing the same job. He was white. I'm a female of color. I'm a boomer. It took me a minute to justify and correct it. We were of equal experience, except he admitted later he did not know the design program we were using every day, that we use every day.
425, I understand that people of color and minorities are more likely to get lowballed, but let's get real. This happens to everyone who doesn't have the power to advocate for themselves. Happens to plenty of white guys. In this scenario, a worker's only power is knowledge to know what they're worth based on what their colleagues are paid.
Let me answer that. Hey, 425, I just want you to know that I don't disagree with you. It does happen to a lot of people. They get lowballed. But I'm going to give you an experience of mine personally. When I took the job, I was just happy to have a job. So they could have paid me literally in peanuts and cereal, and I would have taken the job. So sometimes people take these salaries because they don't have anything else. Yeah. Is it wrong for people to protest outside the homes of Supreme Court justices? 360 says, I agree with G for once. They should not be trying to bully anyone by protesting outside personal homes, no matter who they are.
And Nick Harper says, a few years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that abortion providers couldn't bar protesters from picketing directly outside their door, saying it violated protesters' First Amendment rights. Now they put their giant fences around the court to keep protesters away. They're mad when the protesters say, I'll just go to your house. Get out of here with that stuff.
Seattle Public Schools considering staggering start times because there aren't enough bus drivers. 206 says every school district has those exact staggered school times. Pull off the Band-Aid fast. It hurts for a bit, and then you adjust. Your alternative is California. No buses to public schools. Families are just responsible for figuring it out.
425 says, gee, you always want to throw money at the problem, but that rarely seems to be the whole problem. I'm a school bus driver in a local district. It isn't money. It's keeping us from having enough drivers. Yes, we'd always love more money, but that's not the bottom line. There's so many reasons, including the comprehensive CDL, commercial driver's license, that's needed to drive, the drug tests, the super early time you have to get up, having to deal with the kids on the bus, and many more things.
You're right. I do want to throw money at things because for some reason, let's see, let me get this straight. Oh, I got it. The majority of American workers in this country are underpaid and overworked. Maybe that's why I always want to talk about throwing money at things. And one of the biggest problems, divorce, family issues, it comes down to
money.
Finances and money. And I look at some of the problems that some people don't have or the problems that I don't have anymore. It's like, oh, so once you were able to pay your bills and can afford it, your credit got better. And then once your credit got better, you paid a lower interest rate on things, which put more money in your pocket. So, yes, that is why I'm always saying throw more money at things. Alaska Airlines pilots considering a strike. 206 says, here's how I hedged my Alaska Airlines. Had to fly to Minnesota for my mom's memorial service in Wisconsin. I booked on Alaska, then booked similar itinerary on Southwest. So if Alaska screwed me over, I had a backup plan. When boarding was announced for my Alaska flight, I canceled my Southwest flight.
We also have from 360, I'm fighting with Alaska Airlines right now to get my companion fare back after they canceled everything. This should be automatic, and I shouldn't have to continually request it.
CNN wants to rebrand as more straight news. 253 says, I'm a conservative guy with no interest in cable news. I like to be challenged. I watch CNN if they did just news.
Eric in Columbia City says, I still take a print newspaper simply because when I turn to my story, I see fascinating stories I wouldn't have looked for or even imagined. This widens my worldview, and I feel I'm better. Good for you, Eric. Good for you.
Yeah, that is nice. California legislating automatic enforcement for loud vehicles. Kobe, our listener in Arizona, says, if anyone disagrees, please share why you would spend money to intentionally make your vehicle louder. What does it accomplish? You know, Kobe, that question wasn't cool at all. That was a direct shot at me, my friend. Coming up, let's get right to it. Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
All right, here's Ursula's words to live by. This is Travis in for Ursula. I actually heard this earlier. It was from Rick Riz, and I wrote it down because I was like, oh, I can do this for words to live by. There's always hope. There's always tomorrow. And he meant it for baseball, but it's for life. Mm. It's for everything. Mm. There's always hope. There's always tomorrow.
Oh, we're out of time. Let's keep going.
We'll see you next Monday. All right.
Another 3 hours?
Yeah. That was good. That was good. Hey, thank you, Travis. Really appreciate it. When you read that quote, there's always hope, there's always tomorrow. Do you believe that tomorrow will be better? Because I always do. I actually, like, I think the worst thing that you can be without is hope. When you lose hope, you in trouble. I don't care. You black, white, left, right. You feel me? It's crazy. So.
Yeah.
Travis,
you've
been awesome, man.
You too.
And I love that sweater. Check out Travis's sweater on Twitter. Thank you, Chef. Appreciate you. My man, thank you. Appreciate all your work. We'll do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.